what makes you think you can do something like this? I think it's honestly, it's not that they see the budget brands doing that and they're trying to one-up them on technology. But the truth is,
I've been very vocal about this before on the channel. I'm not a fan of electric cars. I think
it makes it puts American car brands on the world stage for incredible performance.
What I'm saying is, the cars nowadays.
Over the last decade or so, cars have been advancing at an exponential rate, especially when it comes to their technology, their speed, everything like that. Today, we're going to be talking about where we think cars will be going in the future in terms of their technology, drivability, speed, everything like that. I'm Aiden.
I'm Evo.
You're watching Accelerate. So, Evo, I want to start with you because you're definitely, I know we're going to have differing opinions.
That's right. I have a man's opinion
about this. So I want to know where you think, just on a start on a base level, where you think cars are going in the future and what you think
about that. So, all jokes aside, I'm very much so, I've been very vocal about this before on the channel. I'm not a fan of electric cars. I think all the stuff they're doing now with these big screens and all that, I just don't like it. I really just don't like it. That's why I'm not a fan of Tesla. Not that your car doesn't drive nice around. I have no gripes with that. I just don't like that there's a massive screen in the middle of this car. And like, there's no cluster. There's none of that. I don't know, man. There's just, you drive some older, like, for example, you drive an older Alfa Romeo, like the way they used to design the gauges and everything. It's just, then they got away from all that. And I like buttons. I like physical buttons.
Right.
I mean, like,
so I like physical buttons.
Well, for example, like the new M4s and M3s, you can't, there's no climate control button.
Right.
I got to go dig through the iDrive system to do all that. Your Tesla, same thing. I mean, sure, they can make it easy where there's just a button on the screen, just push it and it lets you mess with it, but I like dials. You know what I mean? For like my vent control, I just want to be able to turn a dial or like a button or something. I don't know. I know you like technology. I'm a fan of like mid-2000s technology. Like not like the Mercedes infotainment or the iDrive systems. Those were just like clunky of their time. I'm talking like analog, just there's actual buttons and there's only one button that I could push. I don't need 50 million buttons for stuff. It's just, I don't know.
I think on a base level, when it comes to technology in non-electric cars, I think the like interior on my M4 was like the best it could have been. The digital gauge cluster that was separated from the center infotainment system, all the buttons were still there and everything like that. Everything was still very much interactive. I think the way it's going is towards that level of put everything in the screen as much as possible.
It's a shame.
I think to an extent, I get where manufacturers are coming from with that because to them, like with your iPhone, right? Everything's on your iPhone.
Sure.
Everything, they're trying to integrate everything into this system. And now if you've seen it, I think it's on Audi. There's a new version of Apple CarPlay where Apple CarPlay can actually interact with the base level systems in your car and actually control the entire car. So you really never have to leave Apple CarPlay. I think that's they introduced that first on Audis. I think that's where it is right now. Could be a different manufacturer, but Apple CarPlay's been doing that now because it's trying to integrate everything into an embedded system in a car where everything can be controlled.
Interesting.
And you know, Tesla's done that basically for the last 10 years. It's been like that since the Model S came out in 2012, I believe.
The thing is, with the original Model S, it had an instrument cluster. It wasn't just
a
massive screen.
Well, and it still does.
No. Oh, does
it still has an instrument cluster?
Okay.
So
it's just a Model 3, Model Y, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just the Model 3 and Model Y.
Well, no, the Model X as well. No, the X, I think.
The X has one and the S still has an instrument cluster.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big fan. Like, I think BMW interiors, like the one that you had in the M4, I think I like that interior where it's integrated. Like, you have the cluster in the dash and the infotainment screen's kind of like integrated with it. Now, with the new ones, I think it's hot garbage.
Yeah, I
think
love the iPad.
I think it's horrible. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the big, like, plasma screen.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
My biggest thing is it looks like they pulled it out of, like, a Kia Sportage and just put it in there. Because that, and this is going to, some people are going to be like, what are you talking about? You know what the BMW screen, like, let's say the new M3, M4, the new 5 Series, whatever. The big screen is like a little plastic piece that's behind on the driver's side, or the passenger side, that holds it in.
Yeah.
It just looks so cheap, and it looks horrible. I mean, the person that really, you know, the company that really started this whole big screen thing was Mercedes with the S-Class, like 2014. And I mean, all right. You know, it was whatever.
I think it looked awkward. I think it looks much better now with the screen in the center in the S class and with the gauge cluster separated like that.
But now it just looks like an iPad that they just like bolted an iPad to the corner.
Yeah, that's
they just. I don't know. And some of you guys are going to disagree. Some of you will agree with me. I just don't like it.
Audi's new direction, I'm not a big fan of either.
What are they doing?
They just, so I don't know if you've been in like a Golf, the newer Golfs.
Like Jacobs?
Like where it's like digital gauge cluster and then it's the screen.
Sure.
Like buttons on the side and everything like
that. Sure, sure.
I think Audi has regressed, honestly, because if you look at the new A5 and the new A6 coming out, instead of it being the screen down here for the climate, then your infotainment screen, then your gauge cluster, because they had three screens in Audis from like 2019 up until like now.
Mm.
It's this, it looks like Audi or the Volkswagen group was just like, yeah, it works in the Golf and Volkswagens. We're going to add shinier plastic and we're going to put it in the Audis.
Shame.
And I was like, this is like, you're charging $55,000 for an A5. What makes you think you can do something like this? I think it's honestly, it's not that. The budget manufacturers, Kia, Hyundai, everything like that, I mean, they can be expensive, but for the most part, they're cost affordable. I think the larger brands they see the budget brands doing that, and they're trying to one-up them on technology. But the truth is you don't necessarily buy the luxury brand for the look of the tech and everything like that. It's more for the quality and everything like that. But if you're just going to pull from your lower-end brands, like Volkswagen is doing with Audi, you're just going to pull it from Volkswagen and stick it in Audi and give it some newer plastic, then it's not. It's a quality issue now where I feel like I'm just driving a glorified Volkswagen, which was already an issue. That's with something like the A3, which is, it just feels like a freaking Jetta.
It's a more expensive Golf or a Jetta, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the problem, is it shouldn't feel like that when I'm driving. Now, I get the A3 is not very expensive, and it's kind of a bad example, but okay, the Passat and the A4, perfect example. Feels like
it's a nice car.
And the Passat's a nice car.
Yeah.
But it's just that same feeling where it's like this trend of our lower end luxury cars work. Now, it's a little different for BMW and Mercedes, but for Audi specifically, it's our lower end cars work. So we're going to pull from our lower end cars what's good and stick it in there with minimal changes. Even though, especially with Audi, for the last like 10 years, it has felt like you're driving a Volkswagen product. It doesn't feel like you're driving an Audi product.
Sure.
It's the same thing with like Lexus and Toyota, where it's like in a Lexus, you feel like you're driving. It's very much Toyota-esque with a Lexus skin on it.
And I predicted this whole stuff, I'm not even going to lie, like 5 years ago. And I remember saying, I don't forgot what I was talking to, but my thing is BMW and Mercedes, I think they've gone away from luxury to who can put more technology in a car.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, and that's garbage.
And I think
like,
they're still focusing on performance, which is a good thing.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like luxury. Okay, let's just compare. Let's take a 2018, Mercedes E-Class base.
Yeah.
And let's put it up against a 2000 and we'll use my E55. Sure, my E55 is the AMG. We'll put them close by close because back then the regular E-Class and the E55 didn't really have much differences. Mercedes kind of just jumbled everything together. The new car, you close the door, it feels like I'm closing the door on a Golf. The interior creaks. You see those videos of like EQS and all that? Just creaking everywhere. My car is not like that. The E55, you close the door, it feels solid.
Yeah.
The interior doesn't have creaks. There's Alcantara and
ever since the like 2015 with the Sequel.
No. It's recent. It's with the new like EQ line or whatever.
Oh, they're the ones.
EQ lines.
Yeah.
No, I don't like them. I would never buy one of those cars. It's just
nice.
Like, let's spend as much money as we can on our infotainment system and forget everything else.
Yeah, that's what it feels
like. Fake leather. That's garbage.
Yeah.
Like, you can option an S-Class with fake leather. That's horrible.
Yeah, the EQ line, especially, like, an EQS costs, like, $150,000.
Yes. Because it's the S-Class of the electric thing.
Yeah, it's the...
And it looks horrible. Yeah. I think it looks horrible. I think the interior is horrible. Performance, I mean, I've only ever driven one once, and I didn't even get it to get on it because it was a Mercedes. Like, I went to an event for Mercedes, and they let me drive one. It was all right. I mean, it was quiet and it was whatever, but I don't know. It's just, if you put, like, let's say a 2017 or a 2015 or 20, whatever, S-Class Coupe, S550 Coupe, next to my CL, like, it's night. Like, the materials inside my CL are, like, it's crazy. I mean, the doors are solid. You close the doors, feel like you're closing, like, you know, bank vault. And even my CL's cheap compared to, like, the 90s S-Class. Like, a 90s S-Class literally is just, it's bulletproof. Like the door, it's heavy. The interior is nice. There's, you never see a car with those from that era, like pre-2000s, with a destroyed interior.
And it's
unless you physically do it.
It's funny you use Mercedes as an example because one, to comment on how the EQ line looks, I think the EQ line makes Teslas look because I think EQs are just that ugly. But it's funny that you mentioned that because I feel like when it comes to like, and I'm going to use a great example here. You said from the older Mercedes feel higher quality and better. I think it's the opposite when it comes to quality for BMW is because, and we'll get off the German cars here in a second, but we're just using this example. Look at the F82 M4 and the G82 M4. The G82 M4 feels like a completely different car.
Sure.
Luxury level. There's more leather now. The leather is nicer. The materials are nicer. They wear out less fast. They, you know, the technology's way better. I think to an extent the brands have started to realize that people don't want crap, but I think it's like that small gap between the F and the G generation, especially with BMWs, really showed that they've tried to make it better. But now with the new 5 Series, especially the i5, which we drove, we have a video on it.
Well, I drove a 5 Series too.
Right, you drove one. Fake leather. I mean, it feels okay, but the car is right. It feels nice, but it doesn't feel like the old 5 Series.
The best way I can describe it is I rented a 5 Series. It was a 2024 530. I had to because my flight weird stuff. So I had to come back from LA to Vegas, and they gave me a brand new 5 Series. The thing had like 2,000 miles on it. It literally looks like an Accord. Like it looks like the new Accord, and the interior is just like, what are they doing? Like there's just a massive hump in the center where the control is for like the shifter and all that. You know, that new little shifter.
Yeah, it's a new.
Yeah. And like the iDrive selector thing, and that's it. And it literally just looks like a hump that they took out of like a Jeep or something, and they just put it in there. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, you look at a BMW from the 90s, 2000s, like, I think BMW or Mercedes will never, ever get to that level that they were in the 90s, ever again.
Now, it's funny because the German cars clearly, like, we both think they've regressed to a certain point. I think it's the opposite for American brands. I think brands
have really picked up.
Yeah. I mean, look at Chevy.
Yeah.
Like, the new Tahoe, Escalade, all that. That entire platform is awesome now.
Oh,
super high quality.
Yeah.
Super nice. Granted, you're going to spend $70,000 on a Tahoe if you want it to be that nice.
Yeah.
You will spend over $70,000 on a Tahoe. It is not worth it.
An Escalade, it's like $120,000.
Yeah, you can. If you get an Escalade, you're not in.
But it's worth it. Figure.
But it's worth
it. I rented an Escalade for my birthday when I went to LA.
Escalades have tons of tech. OLED curved screen, everything. But it does it right.
It drove itself, and I didn't have to touch the steering wheel at all. Like, the Escalade never made me touch the steering wheel.
But it could still have a big old V8 on his
own. It had a 6.2 V8, or you could get a 3-liter Duramax diesel, or you could get a supercharged V8, and the Escalade V, which is just stupid.
Or look at the new Mustang. Look at the new Mustang, which does have those iPad screens, but it's a lot nicer than it used to be, but it's still got a V8 under the hood.
Well, the Mustang is a perfect example, because to go back to what you and I were saying, like I said, I don't think Mercedes or BMW will ever go back to where they were in the 90s. High build quality, great driving cars, built to last. Nowadays, it's just like, well, how long can I lease this S-Class for? About 3 years before it takes a crap on me.
Right.
Then you have Chevy, where in the 90s, God help you, because the interior
fell apart. Other than the 5.7, which was...
No, I'm not talking about the motor.
Or was it the 5.7?
Well, even the 5.7, the LT1s had issues with it's called the OmniSpark, where the water pump would leak on the ignition system and the car would die. Nonetheless, we're not talking about the motors. I'm talking about the car build.
Oh, yeah.
And build itself.
It was
like a C4 Corvette from the 90s is garbage. Like, it is garbage.
It was horrid until you got to the C7 generation.
The C7
was like garbage.
You get into a C6, right? A great driving car. You have, like, let's say a Z06. Fast car. Sounds great. Looks great. The interior just feels like it's from a cobalt.
On the exterior, you can push the body panels.
Well, it's fiberglass.
Yeah, it's fiberglass body.
Well, with the C6, it feels like the interior is pulled out of a cobalt because the steering wheel was quite literally pulled out of a cobalt.
Yeah.
And you're paying $80,000 for a Z06. But now...
Oh, look at the C8 now.
The C7. Well, let's say the C7. You hop into a 2017 Z06 C7, feels like you're driving a European car.
Yeah.
Like, the interior is so nice.
And it doesn't look nice in the photos, but if you get in one... It's incredible.
In the C8 build quality?
In the C8 insanely.
Oh my God.
The C8 was like Chevy. Like, they had made the concept for a mid-engine Corvette a decade ago.
It was originally supposed to come out in 1991.
Like, it was a long time ago the concept for the mid-engine Corvette was around. This is, Chevy had been planning this.
Yeah.
It's new because in 2020 they came out with it, but that concept was way long ago. Before 2010, Chevy was already planning on building
it. It was in 91. It was supposed to
be 91.
Yeah.
The C8 now is night and day. It makes it puts American car brands on the world stage for incredible performance. The new ZR1
absolutely, dude, 1,070 horsepower.
It's like 850 pound feet of torque.
No, I think it's more than that.
For torque?
Yeah.
It's a
twin turbo V8, dude. That's mid engine.
It's crazy.
Like, that is a crazy car. Like, that's nuts. This is going to be faster than McLarens, than Ferraris, than Lamborghinis. Yeah. Like, this is crazy.
Now, it's going to be just as expensive.
Oh, for sure.
No, because it's a ZR1, and these things are going to be expensive because they are, like, track-built, purpose-built cars.
Yeah.
But the Z06 even, which sounds, I think, better because it's not twin turbocharged, but the Z06, which is not going to be as rare, and it's not going to be as expensive, Ferraris and Lamborghinis and McLarens, is incredible.
Yeah,
it's an incredible car, and it's ridiculously fast, and the build quality of it is really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. At one point, those cars will be less than $100,000.
Yeah.
And
find them now with high miles.
For the performance that you get for that, it's insane. And like I said, with the Tahoe, even Ford, with the new cars that they're doing, I don't think are as bad.
If you take a 2024 S650 GT Mustang, right now we go outside and just hop in one.
Compared to a three-valve.
Compared to a 2001 Mustang GT. Or a Cobra at that
point. Yeah.
You could buy the most expensive Mustang.
It's going to feel like garbage.
The interior is just crap.
The new ones are fine on quality and build quality. They look fine. They drive fine. I mean, of course, they have that numbness of the steering wheel. But
I'm talking about like build quality. Like
build quality, though, is way better.
It's just back in the 90s, 2000s, American car brands were just what?
And I feel the same about the South Koreans and Japanese.
Oh,
I feel like
God.
They've gotten.
Yeah.
I don't think the build quality has changed. I think those have always been well built cars, minus Nissan. But I think they've gotten better. I think the materials they're using are better. I think the build
quality. That's why what you said with it's okay for those eco or cheaper brands like Kia, Hyundai, and them to do this. I agree. Kia and Hyundai should keep pushing technology.
Oh, but they're doing well.
Because they're doing very well. Because those cars, you don't buy that car expecting it to be a $120,000 S-Class that...
Well, look at Genesis now, which is the spin-off luxury brand. Genesises are awesome luxury cars.
Well, the thing with Kia is, you know, the infotainment system is really nice. It has great technology. And it's like, okay, and you pay $35,000 for this car.
Right.
And it's a great car. Dude, they have 10-year warranties.
Yeah.
100,000-mile warranty. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, BMW said it was never going to do that.
I think it's 5 years, 60 for bumper to bumper, and then it's 10-year, 100
for the powertrain.
That's not only on Kia. That's on Hyundai and Genesis as well. It's across the entire...
Well, they're one. I think they own each other.
They all own each other. Yeah. It's the same group.
Yeah.
But it's spread across the entire thing, which is insanely good that they would turn around, and they're that confident in their products that they're not going to break.
One more argument I can make against technology, and I'm not arguing against all technology. I'm just saying I don't like how all the big screens and all that stuff. One argument I can make is all these automakers that pushed EVs 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, look at Ford.
Ford with the Lightning and the Mach-E. Like, those are hot garbage cars, right?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't buy one.
I wouldn't. And I have a Tesla.
Guess who didn't? Guess who didn't go all crazy into the, all that stuff?
The Japanese brands.
Toyota.
Toyota didn't.
And Toyota's killing it with hybrids.
Why did they go crazy?
They do.
But they're not all in on EVs. Mm-hmm. They were bigger on hybrids.
They reinvested more into a hybrid system.
So was Honda. The Japanese brands saw hybrids as the answer, and hydrogen, which we'll get into in a second, because I think that's a big part of the future.
Yeah.
But Toyota put a lot of focus on hybrid technology. It's paid off really well.
Yeah.
And
well, it's because they've been doing it for years. I mean, look at it. We'll use Matias's Prius as an example.
Yeah.
He bought it with, like, I think he said 70,000 miles, something like that. And now it's at like 100 and something. He's put 100,000 miles on it. Never had. I think he said he's never had a problem with it.
No, it wouldn't surprise me that he's.
And I mean, if the battery goes bad, the kit on eBay is like $800, and you could do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you just disconnect everything, you pull the batteries out of the back of the car, you swap the cells, which are like these little rectangular, like, cube things. I mean, realistically.
Well,
you probably have a shop doing, but
the Japanese design philosophy is, we're going to build this car that way it can withstand anything. anything that can go wrong, we're going to.
Well, that's what the Germans used to be in the 80s.
Well, the Germans' philosophy now is, if you don't drive the car we want the way we want the car to be driven or maintained, you're breaking the rules and the car is going to break. Versus the Japanese are the opposite. It's, we're going to design this car that way, no matter what happens to it, it's going to work like it should every time.
Yeah.
And it's paid off for the Japanese brands, especially Toyota, which is one of the largest brands in the world now. I mean, they have less brands under their umbrella than, say, Volkswagen.
That does, yeah.
But they sell more cars. Absolutely sell more cars. Because they're just that good. And I think it's funny because, you know, touching on hydrogen, which Toyota has, in the United States, started with, like, the Toyota Mirai. And, you know, that car didn't sell for anything. I mean, not money-wise, but it didn't sell. It barely sold
anything. There was a reason it didn't sell.
Because how do you fuel a car with
hydrogen? Because the only place you could really fuel it was stuff in California. That car was only sold in California.
Do you know what they did to make... Okay, so hydrogen is pretty expensive per, I think, cubic liter that it fills. Hydrogen gets expensive. Toyota was giving away thousands of dollars in hydrogen credits if you bought the car. Yeah. You wouldn't have to pay for fuel. They were just giving hydrogen credits. Yeah. It was like thousands of dollars, not hundreds, not a $50 gas card, thousands of free hydrogen credits. Toyota was paying people to own the car.
It's crazy. I mean, there's so many brands. Toyota's not the only ones that done hydrogen stuff. BMW used to try to do hydrogen.
Well,
stuff.
They're still trying. So
back in the day, the biggest example I could talk about is the E38-7 series. They took an E38-750, which is a V12, 5.7, I think, or whatever. V12, naturally aspirated, that had a hydrogen technology aspect of it, and they never built it.
So the funny thing is they're doing it now. So BMW and Toyota are friends now. They're best pals. Supra, the B50A and everything.
BMW Z4?
The Z4, you know, Toyota and BMW have worked very closely together in the last 5-6 years. Very closely together. On top of that, they've worked very closely together on their hydrogen technology because it started with Toyota. BMW is trying to find a way, and they're doing it with their new X5 variant that they're trying to do. And it has to do with, we're not going to pull the entire powertrain out and completely convert it to a hydrogen fuel cell. We're going to take the gas powertrain, modify the gas powertrain to accept hydrogen as a fuel source, because hydrogen is very combustible. Under pressure, hydrogen is super combustible. I mean, you light a match, it's going to light on fire. You'll kill yourself. But it's combustible. So their BMW is modifying their current powertrains. They're still cylinders. They're still noise. They're still everything.
Right.
You still get the same experience, but it's powered by hydrogen. And I am so excited because I'm all about the green initiative, save the earth. You know, gas engines aren't the end-all, be-all. I think there's a way to properly configure cars so they're not dangerous for the environment. I think hydrogen could be the end-all, be-all for the issue with, you know, pollution and pollutants and carbon dioxide emissions from cars. And I think that's the way the industry is to go that way. Do I think there's going to be a mass adoption of this hydrogen technology that BMW and Toyota are working on? No, I think EVs are just going to continue to grow, and EVs have a fair share of problems because building EV batteries is insanely bad for the environment, especially cobalt mining, things like that. Making lithium ion batteries is horrible. Now, Tesla's done research into how to build a different type of battery that uses a different cathode or anode. That way they can stop mining all the bad stuff and they can switch to a more efficient, better for the environment battery design. But I think I would love to see hydrogen get adopted by more brands. That way we can focus on this initiative. Because electricity, the problem with electricity is if it's not coming from a source, if you're not using gas in the car to power the car, to make the electricity, it's coming from a bad source somewhere else, unless it's wind, solar, or even nuclear, which isn't as dirty as burning natural gas or coal to generate power. So if the dangerous pollutants aren't coming from the gas engine, they're coming from the power plant making the power for the EV to use. Mm-hmm. So I would hope in the future we see an adoption of something like hydrogen technology, because I think that's truly a way of solving this crisis that I know it's a crisis. I mean, I don't really hate on gas engines because I like gas engines. I'm not going to sit here and they're not the biggest producers of carbon dioxide. I would be fine if internal combustion engines sticked around. I'd be completely fine if internal combustion engines were the only thing around. But I don't think that's the way the industry.
Well, the German brands are backpedaling now with the ICE stuff because they were all like, oh, we're only going to sell EVs by 2020.
Yeah.
So we're doing that.
Not anymore.
Not anymore because they can't. No one wants them. I don't want an electric car.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit at a charging station for however long, 20, 30, whatever minutes. It takes me 3 minutes to fill my car up with the gas.
Yeah, it takes me 20 minutes to charge my car.
Which, it's not crazy, right? But it's like, I just feel like it could be much quicker, more efficient. Again, I don't know any of this. I'm not an engineer. I don't know how this stuff works, but I just know that I can also fix my own car at my house.
No, absolutely.
In my opinion, it's a privacy thing. Like, apparently nowadays what they're trying to do with the U.S. government, at least, and I don't know how true it is, but I've read online, they're trying to make it where, yep, like, if you're getting, like, if you haven't paid for your car or something like that, they'll just shut it down. How are you going to come shut down my 1996 Mercedes diesel?
You're not.
You're not going to kill it. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, that's definitely a genuine fear, is this this Internet of Things technology where people can control your household items or your property from a remote location, which I don't agree with. It's your property. It doesn't matter if you don't pay the bank or not. I mean, listen, pay your freaking bills. I mean, if you don't, you're a degenerate. You need to pay your bills. But at least by choice, you need to pay your bills. But
I'm going to try to sound like a degenerate.
You pay your bills. You will, if you willingly don't pay for your car, do you deserve not to have a car? Maybe. But if you, should any private corporation or public entity ever have the ability to take your property away? No, because that's our right, our property. You know, I think that is a definite fear of people in the United States right now and across the world, is this ability to access data for a car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not that data on a car is going to be anything crucial, because what are you putting into your car that's super sensitive? Nothing. And you're already giving companies credit card information, stuff like that. So,
well,
but it's the idea that someone could mess with me without my permission, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's the fear. I don't necessarily think that EVs are going to be the end all be all for cars. I think there's going to be a very healthy blend. I think if you look at it, you know, think about it like when automatic transmissions have been out for almost as long as manual transmissions been around. They've been around for just as long. Automatics have been here for a while. But it's kind of like manual enthusiasts don't sit here and say, well, you know, I just don't like where automatic transmissions are going. Manual enthusiasts, at least ones that, you know, have a brain, can admit that an automatic transmission is better for performance. It's better for track. It's better for a lot of things. Because it's more efficient.
Sure.
It helps the car perform better, right? But there's a blend, automatic, manual, CVT, God forbid, you know, things like that. F1 trans, there's a blend of transmission types, but no one's sitting here. And even hybridized transmissions, which no one has a problem with, you know, there's a blend of them. We're going to end up with a blend of powertrain options. It's going to be EV, hydrogen, and ICE. It's just going to be that. I think that's the direction, because you're never going to remove an internal combustion engine from the road. And people will flip out. Watch. I bet people will have a field day when the day comes when an ICE is not for sale anymore. I don't think it'll ever happen, you know, especially with gas companies that don't want to stop selling the gas.
Yeah.
Ruin the economy if you stop selling ICE. And then I think EV, which is a fine powertrain. I've had them all, other than, you know, I've had EV, I've had ICE. They're both fine.
Never had hybrid, though.
Never had a hybrid. I think I would, if just depending, like, I would have a new 911 GTS.
Would you have a P1?
Yes.
Or LaFerrari?
Yep.
Or 91A?
Sure would. Those are all hybrids. Great cars.
Yeah, they're great cars. Listen, for like racing purposes, technology is great because it's advancing things. I mean, the cars are so much faster.
Like a new GT3 RS.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much faster than it was 20 years ago, right? Like a new GT3 RS versus a 996 GT3 RS, night and day differences. But what I'm saying is the cars nowadays, they do everything for you.
Yeah.
To make sure you don't crash, to make sure you do that.
I mean, I think
it'll drive safety.
Well, no, for sure. But I'm saying, like, it eliminates the aspect of you needing to hone your skills as a driver. Yeah. Like, best example, we got to close this out, but, like, an 04 or 5 Courage GT. I mean, that's a raw car.
Yeah.
No ABS, no traction. That is
the last true analog.
That car is a killer. It's, like, quite literally a widowmaker. But you guys let us know down below. Or, you know, we kind of agree on some things. There's some things we don't agree on, but where are you guys at? You know what I mean? Where are you guys at with this whole thing? I mean, do you guys support only EVs, only ICE engines? Where are you at? Let us know.
Right.
Love to read the comments.
You know, just keep an open mind. That's
yeah. This isn't supposed to be a hateful thing. Just
keep let us know. Mind. So thank you all for watching.